Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. All right. I'm excited about being here tonight. At my stage of the game, I'm excited to be anywhere. I'm just grateful to be at Second Mile Church on Sunday evening. And, you know, Jesus showed up at a Sunday evening service and Thomas missed him. Can you imagine missing Jesus after the resurrection and he appeared to everybody? But that's what happens when we miss worship times. Every time the doors are open, we have an opportunity to come and worship Jesus. And isn't it a blessing to be able to do that? Isn't it? Great blessing. If you have your Bibles tonight, now I'm talking about Christmas is forever. And let me just kind of introduce it like this. I remember growing up as a child. I just loved Christmas. Me and my four sisters and my mom and dad just made Christmas always so special for us. And I always wanted Christmas to just to go on and on and on, you know. And I was always sad when Christmas was over. And I enjoyed, you know, unwrapping all the presents on Christmas morning and then playing with our new toys and all that stuff on Christmas Day. And I enjoyed getting to go see my grandparents every Christmas. And you know, when I went to my grandmama Hampton's, boy, as soon as we'd pull up at something Felix Avenue in Memphis, Tennessee, she'd have fried chicken, Mary Margaret, and mashed potatoes and gravy and sweet tea and corn on the cob and all that good stuff. And then when we'd drive out every other Christmas, we'd drive out to Oklahoma to see my other grandparents. And man, Grandmama Smith would have pecan pie, chess pie, and coconut meringue pie. And she always make fresh homemade eggnog. Doesn't that sound good? Y'all ready to go to the restaurant now, aren't you? But I just remember Christmas just being so special. And of course, I enjoyed Kevin being out of school for 2 weeks. And I remember that year we were out of school for a month because of all the snow. I don't know if you remember that or not, but I remember just wishing that Christmas would last forever. And every year when Christmas would pass, my heart would be just a little bit sad. But if you understand the true meaning of Christmas, it does last forever. It really does. It does last forever. And because you see, Christmas is found in a person named Jesus. And He is forever. Are y'all with me so far? Now we're going to be in Hebrews tonight because I think Hebrews, the first chapter of Hebrews, tells us how Christmas and why Christmas is forever. And as you roll through the book of Hebrews, you quickly begin to understand that the writer of Hebrews is lifting up Jesus. He's magnifying Him and exalting Him, really like no other place in your Bible. The whole book was written to simply tell us Jesus is better. I said Jesus is better. I mean, the book of Hebrews tells us that He's better than the angels. He's a better sacrifice. He's a better priest. He's a better resurrection. He's a better destiny. Jesus is just simply better. And so tonight we're going to learn why Christmas is forever. And so let's look at Hebrews chapter 1. Are you there? Everybody there? Okay. Christmas is forever, first of all, because Jesus outspeaks the prophets. Jesus outspeaks the prophets. Look at Hebrews 1:1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. Have you got that? Christmas is forever because Jesus outspeaks the prophets. Now, the writer of Hebrews just simply assumes, and it makes a very clear assumption that God is real. How many of you know God is real? And so there's really no attempt on his part to prove the existence of God. God just simply is, and he's revealed himself like we talked about this morning. Aren't you glad, by the way, God has revealed himself in the person of his Son? But what he's saying here is, has this God spoken? And so first of all, the writer of Hebrews tells us that this God has spoken, and he's spoken to us primarily in two ways. God has spoken, first of all, partially through the prophets. God, who at various times in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. Now, the writer, of course, is telling us about these Old Testament prophets that God spoke to. And, you know, the Old Testament covers a period of about 4,000 years, but the Old Testament was written over a period of about 1,500 years, and it was written by over 40 authors on several different continents, and each one that spoke or wrote was called a prophet. And they wrote and spoke as God revealed truth to them, bits and pieces of information. We call this progressive revelation as you move through the Old Testament. The prophets were getting revelation from God, and they were speaking the truth of God and recording God's Word. Aren't you glad you've got an Old Testament? I heard some preacher out of Atlanta say you just need to throw the Old Testament away and keep your New Testament. Can I tell you, the New Testament fulfills the Old Testament. Both of them fit together. You need both of them. Don't listen to any kind of garbage like that when you hear it from somewhere. And so God's truth was unfolding in the Old Testament. And so to some prophets, God would speak through visions and dreams. To others, he would speak to them in a still, small voice. And some prophets, he would speak in a thunderclap. But the prophets always knew there was something missing. There was some piece missing over there in those Old Testament writings. And of course, that something that was missing was whom? That's right. But as Billy Walker, didn't he do a fantastic job this morning? Some people do see two birds in every bush, I guess. And while it's, you can't always see Jesus in every verse, in every page, he's there. And so that's what those Old Testament prophets were missing. You know, Moses said he would be the seed of a woman. Isaiah said that he would be born of a virgin. Moses again said he would be the star of Jacob. Micah said he would be born in Bethlehem. David said he would be crucified. God spoke partially through the prophets. But secondly, God has not only spoken in times past through the prophets, he has spoken finally in the person of his Son. Look at verses 2 and 3. He has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir. Now listen to this. Woo! Somebody say, woo, with me. He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. God has spoken to us in these last days in the person of his Son. In former days, he spoke to us through the prophets. But bless God, he's spoken to us in these times in the person of his Son. Now, Jesus is not just God's best word to humanity. He is God's last word to humanity. Let me say that one more time. Jesus is not just God's best word to humanity. He is God's last word to humanity. We have the complete revealed Word of God in the written Word. And how many of you know the written Word and the living Word are two of the same thing? Yes. So, he has spoken to us in the person of his Son. And I want to tell you, I've come here tonight to tell you, Second Mile, nobody ever spoke like Jesus did. I mean, whenever he spoke, lame men would get up, Dumb men would speak up. Dead folks got up. I mean, whenever Jesus spoke, something major happened. And he didn't just merely speak truth. He is the truth. He didn't just tell people about the way. He is the way. He didn't just tell people about life. He is the life. And there are seven magnificent statements about this person we call Jesus here in verses 2 and 3. And I just want to park there for just the next few minutes. Is that okay? He has spoken to us in these last days in the person of His sons. And here's what the Scripture tells us about Jesus. First of all, it says He is the heir of all things. You see, we lost everything in Adam. Everything was forfeited in Adam. We once were clothed in the righteousness and the glory of God. But when sin entered into the human experience, all of that was given away. Satan took what we had. That's why Romans 3:23 says, we are all what? Short of the glory of God. All of that was forfeited by our sin. But look at this verse. It says, He is the heir of all things. When Jesus came, He not only came to save us from our sins, but He inherited all things. What is an heir? Yeah, someone who inherits things. Well, Jesus is the inheritor of all things. Turn with me quickly to Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. This will bless you. Romans 8 and verse 17. Sometimes, you know, an heir is selfish. They want everything for themselves, but not Jesus. Look what Romans 8:17 says. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together with Him. My brothers and my sisters, everything that Jesus owns, I own too. Let that sink in. Whatever, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you are a joint heir with Jesus. You are a co-heir. Everything that He owns, you have possession of as well. I mean, I've been trying to tell y'all it pays to serve Jesus. My goodness, He is the heir of all things. Everything Jesus owns, I own too. But now look at this second statement. It says that He made the worlds. He made the worlds. Jesus Christ created the universe. Isn't that an amazing statement? Look at Colossians 1:16. Colossians 1:16. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. If you're looking at it, Jesus made it. Everything that you see or you have on or you're experiencing is either given and made directly or indirectly by the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that an amazing statement? All things were created by Him and for Him. Did you know, listen to this, did you know that your heart will pump 500 million times over your lifetime? That's enough blood to fill up a string of tanks, army tanks, all the way from Boston to New York State. John 1:3 says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. He made all things. That's who you're praying to. The creator of the universe. Isn't that an amazing statement? And then the third thing that it tells us about the Son here is that who being the brightness of His glory. He is the brightness of the glory of God. In Jesus we behold the glory of God. You know, the sun, The rays of the sunshine express the glory of the sun. Well, the Son of God expresses the glory of God. Jesus is the glory of God. The Shekinah glory of God shines in, on, and through the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember when Peter, James, and John were up on the Mount of Transfiguration and all of a sudden Jesus was transformed, transfigured before their very eyes, and they fell down as though dead. Let me tell you, Jesus isn't coming again in a lowly, riding on the back of a lowly donkey. When He comes again, He's coming in all of His splendor and majesty and glory. I need to preach on the second coming again. It's been a year or two since I've done that. But let me tell you something. Jesus tonight is in His glorified state. Now there's a glorified man on the throne whose name is Jesus, but He is majestic. He is in His splendor. He is the express. And then that leads to the next statement about Jesus. It said, are y'all with me tonight? This is good stuff, man. He is the express image of His person. Do you understand what the Bible's saying there? The word image is the word representation, an exact stamp. Jesus is the exact substance, the very nature, the essence of God. And in John 14:9, Jesus made it real clear. He said, He that has seen me has seen the Father. I had a, you know, I preached in a lot of different venues over the years. But the first place that I ever started preaching was the Nashville Union Rescue Mission. And the second or third time I went up there with Chaplain Curry and Dwight and Shep, and they had asked me to preach, there was a fight that broke. While I was preaching, a fight broke out in the back of the room. Now, those guys couldn't whip their way out of a wet paper bag. They were so high as a Georgia pine. But that's where I learned how to preach. But every time I've been to the Nashville Union Rescue Mission, somebody says something kind of out of the way after I get through preaching. And here back a few months ago, I had preached on Jesus being that Jesus is God. And so I get this, I won't tell y'all what flavor and denomination he was, but he wanted to argue about whether or not Jesus was the Son of God. And I said, you don't have an argument with me, young man. What you've got an argument with is the Word of God. Because Jesus is the express image of... You want to know what God looks like? Look at Jesus. That's what He's saying. He's the express, the exact representation, the very substance, the very essence of God. Isn't that an amazing stuff? Aren't you glad God sent His Son? Aren't you glad He sent us Jesus to show us what God is like? And then look at this next statement, upholding all things by the word of His power. The picture here is of someone not only creating the universe, but of someone maintaining and sustaining the universe. Jesus is the sustainer of the world. He's the glue that's holding the galaxy together. And I want to tell you, if he can keep this universe together, He can put your life together. And He can keep it together. How many of you have ever known someone, their life was just a wreck, and Jesus got a hold of them and put all the pieces of the puzzle of their life back together again? He can sustain all things. And by the way, Jesus has got, you know, what's the old song? He's got the whole world. He's got the whole in His hands. He's got the whole world. In His hands, He's got the whole. Well, one of these days, Jesus is going to take His hands off the world. You know what's going to happen then? It's going to fall completely apart. This old world's winding down. Y'all know that, don't you? I mean, this old world is going in the wrong direction, and He's going to take His hands off the universe, and the world's going to come apart, but then He's going to make a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. Now, again, if He can put the universe together and keep it together, He's more than able to keep your life together. You just keep trusting Him and just keep following Him. There's no one like Jesus. No one like Jesus. And then I guess maybe here's, this is probably my favorite part. He said, when he had by himself purged our sins. When he had by himself purged our sin. The writer of Hebrews here moves from creation all the way to the cross. And the good news of God's final word to us is that Jesus Christ has taken care of our sin problem. He paid the price that cleanses us from all our sin. It's our sin. Isn't that the problem? Isn't that the issue? Our sin. We always want to talk about somebody else, but it's our sin that Jesus came to take care of. And He paid the penalty for your sins and mine. And when you accepted His payment that He made on the cross for your sin, your sins were forgiven. And He was buried so that your sins could be put away. And He was raised for God's glory so that death and sin and the grave can't even have a handle on us anymore. The grave couldn't handle Him. Hallelujah. We've been Baptists too long. And then look what He did. After He made that payment all by Himself, what does it say? He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. When somebody sits down, normally they're done, right? Their work's completed. Unless you work at a laptop or a desktop or something like that. But Jesus sat down after the work was completed for your salvation and for mine. And as He sits there tonight, He is Lord of Lords and He's King of Kings. He is the Majesty on high. And I want to tell you, it ain't Moses sitting there. Great as Moses was, great as the prophets were. It's not Micah, it's not Isaiah, no prophet, it's Jesus Christ. And that's why Christmas is forever, is because we have a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And He outspeaks the prophets. He is God's final word to humanity. And if you refuse Him, God has nothing more to say. Don't you think your neighbor needs to hear that word? I think so. Christmas is forever because Jesus outspeaks the prophet. But secondly, He outranks the angels. Somebody say, outranks the angels. Look at verse 4. Having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did He ever say, you are my son, and today I have begotten you? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. But when He again brings the firstborn into the world, He says, let all the angels of God worship Him. And of the angels, He says, who makes His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire? But to the Son, He says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom, and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Christmas is forever because Jesus outranks the angels. In New Testament times, people probably made too much of angels. When you get to studying Old Testament things and even New Testament truths and stuff, people made a big deal of angels back in the day. Probably in our time, we make too little of angels. Angels do have a ministry. The term angelos means messenger. They go on errands for God. Angels do good works. They are mentioned 105 times in the Old Testament and 165 times in the New Testament. Angels really do exist. God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Mary to give her the good news about her being the mother of God. Angels were present at the birth of Jesus. Angels were present at the resurrection of Jesus. Earthquake angels set Paul free from a prison cell. Angels will be present when He comes again. But in spite of all the wonderful things that the Bible says about angels, Jesus outranks them all. He's even better than the angels. And look what verse 4 says. It says that Jesus has obtained a more excellent name than they. I like that, don't you? Angels are merely servants of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Angels are merely messengers. Jesus is the message. Angels are mighty, but Jesus is the Almighty. Angels are before the throne. Jesus is sitting on the throne. I love the chorus, "All hail the power of what?" Yes. One of the, let angels prostrate fall. One day all of heaven's going to bow. Angels, cherubim, seraphim, saints. All the earth will bow. Kings will get off their thrones and lay their crowns at His feet and bow. And all those under the earth will bow. Demons, the devil, the Antichrist, the false prophet, all of hell will bow. All the universe will be in subjection to the Son of God. Christmas is forever because He outranks even the angels. And then thirdly, the writer of Hebrews tells us the reason Christmas is forever, not just because He outspeaks the prophets, not just because He outranks the angels, but because He outlasts the universe. He outlasts. Look at verse 10. "And You, Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of Your hands. They will perish, but You will remain. And they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed." And here it is, David. "But You are the same, and Your years will not fail." How many of you know Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Jesus outlasts the universe. Not only did He create the universe, He's in the creation business. The Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And verse 11 tells us that the creation that Christ created is going to collapse. Nothing in this world is going to last. I hate to tell you this, but those Titans tickets, they ain't going to last. They ain't going to hold up. That new car that you bought this Christmas, it's going to get a dent in it. And that's just going to be the beginning of the end. It's all going to rust. And that old car is going to collapse one day. You girls got some new threads on this Christmas. Didn't y'all get a new dress? Nobody gave y'all some new clothes? Go see Kevin Kennedy right over here after the service. Y'all ought to have gotten some new clothes, some new threads. Well, guess what? That new dress, that new skirt, that new blouse, that new jacket, it's going to get a hole in it. And it's going to fade away. And sooner or later, you're going to have to go get another one. The sun's winding down. It's burning out at a rate of 4.2 million tons a second. The stars are going to burn out like sparks in a fireplace. Everything in the universe is going to collapse. It's all winding down. Except Jesus. Don't pin your hopes on something that's not going to last. Put your hope in something that's eternal. Jesus is forevermore. Look what verse 12 says again. "Like a cloak, You will fold them up." Stuff, things. "And they'll be changed. But You," capital Y, "are the same. And Your years will not fail." Christ will continue. All of this stuff is going to waste away and perish. It's all going to fall by the wayside. All of that stuff is going to change. But the Lord Jesus will never change. He is going to outlast the universe. I'm glad I serve a Savior who's going to live forever and ever. 1 billion, 1 trillion years from now, Jesus Christ will still be on the throne. I said 1 billion, 1 trillion years from now, Jesus will still be on the throne. Hallelujah. He, And guess what? Martha, he's going to love you for all of eternity. And there ain't a thing you can do about that. He's just going to love you. And Carol, he's even going to love old David all the whole time. I mean, even if David picks up another stick and puts gasoline on it, he's still going to love old David Fry. I mean, put your trust in someone and something that's not going to fade away. He's going to last for all of eternity. The stars are going to come and go. Worlds are going to come and go. Nations are here today and gone tomorrow. Cities rise and cities fall. Presidents get impeached and presidents get thrown out to pasture. And friends and loved ones come and they pass away. But Jesus Christ is forever. Christmas is forever because Jesus is forever. I don't know if you needed a message of hope tonight, but that's one that blesses me. And as I said this morning, not everybody is jumping up and down because it's Christmas. Some of our folks have a tough, tough time during Christmas because you see things change, right? But here's the good news. Jesus Christ never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And, I mentioned some loved ones of ours that have passed away. And for the first Christmas, some of it like Ethel. And then I think about others in our church that Christmas is a hard time sometimes for people. And if you're a pastor, you love people. I don't know why anybody would get in the pastorate if they're not people persons. But I've watched our people walk through tough times this Christmas. And can I just tell you, Jesus is the only one you can truly count on. But He will see you through. And He'll get you to where you need to go. And bless God, He's going to be on that throne for all of eternity. You see, Jimmy Terry had it right. Christmas really is all about Jesus. Amen. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for reminding us of these great, great truths in Hebrews chapter 1. And the word, the Bible tells us that your word is forever, that it'll never fade away. And so, God, we're clinging and claiming the Word of God tonight. You are the hope, the inspiration of our time here. And God, we so look forward to it. I'll be so glad when God's children finally get home. What a day, as Brother Shep would sing so pitifully, what a day that'll be. When my Jesus I shall see. When He takes me by the hand and says, come on, Cal, we're going to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that's going to be. We're so grateful, Father, that Christmas really is forever. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, I would not do this congregation justice if I didn't tell you how to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You see, if you want to experience Christmas in its fullness, Christmas has to get into you. If you want to go to heaven, you've got to allow heaven to come into you. And the Bible says if you'd be willing to turn from your sin and literally turn to Jesus, and by faith, place everything that you are into everything that He is, trusting His finished work as the only means of your salvation. Surrendering your heart and life to Him, you too can enjoy Christmas forever. And you do that with a simple childlike prayer of faith. Oh Lord,
I need to be forgiven of all my sin. Thank you, Jesus, for paying the price, making the payment for all my sin. And I receive that gift of salvation and turn from my life of sin and turn to you. Give me a brand new heart tonight. Thank you, Lord, for bringing Christmas to me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.